B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, to your phones, Kraft and the Bruins. Johnny and Peabody, go ahead, Johnny. What do you got?
All right, so I'm going to try to keep this as radio-friendly as I possibly can. But I've had this happen to me, and I say had this happen to me because I went to a massage parlor and, you know, for normal massages for like over a year, and then at one point the masseuse, or a masseuse, not the same masseuse, decided that after the regular massage, she was going to, you know, do yep. things. Okay, so what I'm saying, it's very embarrassing when they're able to get you to do something, okay?
Johnny.
You could judge me all you want.
Johnny,
but if you've never
I don't
happen,
believe you.
You're very vulnerable.
I don't believe you.
You don't believe me.
I don't believe you.
What part of it don't you believe, Felger?
So you're saying that after a year you were molested by your masseuse?
If a masseuse knows exactly where to touch certain things, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you can. See, you guys can judge and laugh and do whatever you want.
Okay, would you go back the next day? All right, John. All right, so John.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So even if that's true, would you then go back the next day?
Absolutely not. And that's why I was saying, like, I applaud you guys for basically not being homers. And when I heard your description on the radio of what happened, where he was in there for, like, you know, 3 minutes or whatever, he has no defense. He came there with that in mind. I did not go there with that in mind.
Okay, Johnny, I'm sorry for your experience. I don't mean to besmirch you or whatever. It's just it's a hard thing to believe. But whatever. I'm not saying I
no,
don't
No, again, in this case, and it's not apples to apples. And so, you know, everybody, I don't know if we're going to get more stories like that.
Yes, we are, which is why.
Okay, but I look at it and say he went back a second day. So look, his case, again, if there is a case, his case is going to be ground in legal matters, not common sense ones.
Right.
Okay, so you can present whatever legal case you want. The common sense in all of us looks at this and goes, come on.
Well, there is I believe there is a jury waiting if he actually goes all the way with it. And so a juror, there's the law and then there's, come on. You know, there's
well, exactly.
both of those things.
Yeah, and I think we're just at the stage like, okay, look, they've got you on video. You went back a second day. You were there 13 minutes.
And based on the timeline of how he walks in and how quick everything happened, and the way that you read this in the legal document, there's never a pretense for any kind of a real massage. So if they have video on this and they wanted to fight this, I'm sorry. If I'm on that juror, look at this and be like, oh, come on. He never touches any other part of his body.
Don't tell me you're fighting this. That's what I'm saying. Can you take a hit?
You know, I never understand this stuff. Like, when something like this happens, why people just don't say, look, I screwed up. What do you want me to tell you?
Frank on Cape Cod, give me a Bruins.
Don't we all get ice cream headaches when we start talking about the business of the sports? But I think the Bruins are way under the cap because they don't have to count Pasternak's 6 point something while he's on IR.
No, that's not it. They were well under it before.
Okay. And I was just wondering if you thought Krug was trying to shoot his way out of town when he didn't go out for the shootout, whichever night that was out in Vegas.
So did Cassidy tap him to go out?
Yeah, he asked him to go. He said no, according to Pierre McGuire.
Is that true?
And then he went out on the next round after, but the first time Cassidy asked him to go, he said no.
No way. I didn't know that.
Me neither.
I know he got banged up at the end of one of these games recently. I'd like to look into that. So, that's interesting. What would Krug have against Cassidy? Gives him all the ice time he needs.
I know, you got me. I don't know. Unless it was just, maybe there were no hard feelings. Maybe Krug looked at him and said, look, I got nothing right now. Don't send me out there.
Yeah, he got hurt at the end of one of these games. So I don't know, maybe that was it. But, because I will forget this as soon as I do it. I got to write it down. If I don't write things down, they leave my brain. Krug, Cassidy. Let's look that up. Did you? So the cap point was this, is that the Bruins got the Devils to assume 40% of Johansson's salary this year. 40%. He makes $4.5 million. Maz did the math. It's only now the Bruins on the hook for 60% of what's left of $4.5 million this season, which comes to...
It's like $1.15 million was left on the deal. And the Devils are eating about $465K of that. So the way you have to look at it is $465K. Okay, if you're the Bruins, is it worth paying the $465 and giving up a third rounder instead of the second?
So that's my question. Usually, when you have the other team assume money, you have to give up a bigger draft pick. So if you had just taken the full salary, do you get away with it for two-thirds as opposed to a second and a third?
Maybe.
Or do you have multiple seconds and could you give him one of your lowest? I don't even know. But usually there's a trade-off there. And if you had just assumed the full salary, I mean, I don't know what is 400 grand worth the difference between a second and a third? I would hope not. That's a big difference. So, but that's the only part that aggravates me.
Right, you're saying if you're the Bruins, you pay the $465.
Yeah, so the Bruins are so far under the cap that they had money to spend. So
that's how I look at it. You know, I'll save myself the 30 spots in the draft for $465K. If you're telling me I can buy an extra round in the draft for $465K, I'm doing it.
Vanessa in Lexington, go ahead on Kraft.
Yeah, I can't believe this is why I'm calling you, my first time calling you in 10 years. The airport is close to where his home is, and he would have to drive way out of the way to get up to Jupiter,
that's
like right. 35 minutes north.
That's right. That's what I said earlier. The West Palm Airport is 10 minutes from Palm Beach.
And there's no other airport, and there's also a lot of other little kind of skankier towns in between. I just don't get the Jupiter thing.
So that's the thing that stands out to me. The way it's all portrayed is that this is in his neighborhood. It's not. I mean, it's not a million miles away, but it's like 20, 25 minutes away. Unless there's a private strip out there that he flies in and out of privately, and that it's not Donald Ross, it's the next exit up. I know the area, I just can't remember the street names, but it's up there.
Which is not out of the realm of possibility. They could be flying out of a private airfield.
A lot of the privates go in and out of PBI, don't they?
But I'll tell you, I'm not even sure he was on the way to the airport. He was in shorts and a baseball hat. And, like, if he's going right to the AFC Championship game?
It was at 11 a.m., so the game time, it's a three-hour flight.
Right, the game is at night, though, right?
6:40, and they're an hour behind.
Right. So, like, I think he might have been going back, changing, getting dressed, getting on the flight, and then going right to the stadium in his, you know, jacket and pants.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And, honestly, at the end of the day, does any of it really matter?
No, it's just a...
Sure, I hear you.
It's just a little detail.
No, so I envision Kraft being hanging out in the morning in shorts and a baseball hat, going over, coming back, you know, showering up, getting dressed, going to the game.
To me, what's kind of a detail is that he
went out of his way to go there.
It's possible he was like going out of his way.
Because this place was a destination, that's why.
You know, it's being portrayed as...
And not just for him.
It was just down the street, but no, the dudes went there for a reason.
Yes, it wasn't an accident, right? Like, these guys didn't stumble into the place by mistake, like the caller said, and then all of a sudden they think they're going in for a massage and something else happens. They went there for a reason because they knew what it was for.
George in Ohio, your thoughts on the Bruins and what they did today? George A. Okay, his comment line says, way too conservative. Way too conservative. I don't know. They couldn't match, from what I'm gathering, they couldn't match that Vegas deal for Mark Stone unless they included McAvoy. They couldn't match that defense prospect. They don't have it.
No, and again, I read a profile on this kid. He's supposed to be dynamic. He's
supposed to be the next thing. Oh, one of them. He's in the AHL, but he's 19. He was just drafted. He's left shot, puck-moving defenseman, dynamic compared to Eric Carlson, blah, blah, blah. So, like, that's the centerpiece for Mark Stone. You can't match that unless you're giving McAvoy or DeBrusque or someone like that. Do you want to give up McAvoy?
No.
Neither do I.
Stone, I understand. But when I see what the deal was for Wayne Simmons, who's a kid who was a first-round pick, a 30th overall from 5 years ago, and a fourth-round pick next year, and I know he's going to be up, but that's a guy that can actually truly help you in a playoff run here.
Would I rather have Wayne Simmons or Marcus Johansson?
Well, one of them doesn't hate one of your best players like poison because gave him a concussion.
That's a whole nother situation.
That's a good point. I didn't even consider that element of it.
I mean,
because instinctively, I'd tell you I'd rather have Johansson. I love Simmons. But you know what worries me about him? I feel like he's the game sort of passed him by.
No question.
Like the way I felt about Lucic and even Backes. Like, it's a speed game now. And those big bruisers, they're just not as effective as they used to be. So that would be my concern with Simmons.
But still, I wonder if I might rather have Simmons doesn't have the concussion history. This, you know, the kid was Marchand
he messed him up.
Really messed him up. Missed an extended period of time, couple of months, and really hasn't been the same player since. And that's sort of a thing. You get into these playoffs, and it's like, well, you know, you'd be banging heads in there, dude. And that's a concern. I don't know if Simmons has that same concern. I just wasn't in the mood for an overpay. I wasn't in the mood for an overpay this year. I wasn't in the mood for Ilya Kovalchuk or someone like that. I'm okay with what they did. I really am. I'm okay. But I think there's a case to be made on the other side. So you can make it. We'll continue with your calls right after this.
The
Juggernaut.
The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
We are charging 25 individuals with soliciting another to commit prostitution, pursuant to sections 796.07, 2F, and 5A1 of the Florida statutes. This charge is a first-degree misdemeanor, punishable by up to 1 year in jail, a mandatory $5,000 fine, 100 hours of community service, and a class on the dangers of prostitution and human trafficking.
That's State Attorney Dave Ehrenberg today at a press conference in Palm Beach, West Palm, detailing the charges against Kraft and 24 other Johns in that prostitution ring down in Florida. Kraft's been charged with two counts because he went twice. The day before the AFC title game and then the morning of the AFC title game before he flew out to Kansas City. And so he's been charged with two of those. The one, there's been a couple developments. You know, we didn't know those. We didn't know the timing of it. We didn't know that. Some of the details in the affidavits where it's really specific about the sex acts, you know, that's a revelation today. And you can read those yourself online if you want to know exactly what was going down there. They detail it pretty good. So those were revelations. And the other one is that he's being charged, and they all are, with a first-degree misdemeanor, which is a maximum term of 1 year in jail along with 100 hours of community service and a $5,000 fine. Previously, it was being portrayed as a second-degree misdemeanor, which is at most 60 days in jail. And in all these cases, they don't face jail. You know, they just, they're, it's highly unlikely a first-time offender faces jail for a misdemeanor like this. And as previous people have called, well, they charge him with the first-degree misdemeanor, so they plead it down to the second-degree misdemeanor. But for Kraft, does it really matter? Does it matter what degree misdemeanor it is? I mean, I'm sure he doesn't want to sit in these classes.
No.
So, I mean, but how much, how far is he willing to go to get out of a couple hours of community service? I mean, for him, him, 100 hours of community service is probably easy. I don't know what they allow you to, I mean, he's so charitable. He spends so much time at these events and things. I mean, I don't know if that's, a, I mean, he can knock that off, and usually knocks that off in a week, the guys around doing so much of that sort of stuff. So, like, that's not it. I'm just, my takeaway is, and I say the editorial we, are we really going to fight this? Are we really going to go through discovery and try and pick apart the case and go through all this nonsense like we did with some of these other things like Deflategate, and you're going to make it worse like you did with Deflategate? Is that what you're going to do? For what?
Look,
for what? Because you just can't admit wrong? Like, just admit you were wrong. Take the hit, and it'll go away quicker, and again, if you want, even want to be better, outside of just saying you were wrong and take the hit and I made a mistake, if you really want to then go a step further and you'll get people on your side if you start detailing what led you to it or any problems that you might have. Then you get people with the same problems on your side and now you become a little bit of a, you know, someone to rally around.
Yeah, you become sympathetic.
You become sympathetic. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, you become a sympathetic figure. And so, look, I said this. I never understand the PR part of these things, and I think this is largely a PR thing. I think that or somehow, you know, if they decide to go through with it, that it has to do with what is ultimately sort of the official verdict on the thing. And the reality is that I don't think the official verdict matters. I think it's all about the public perception now. And you're not changing that.
And let me tell you this. If you want to, if you think it's going to, you'll have a better league outcome. We haven't really hit on this. You know, the league coming down on you. I don't think it matters whether you're found guilty or innocent.
No, it doesn't.
They've actually spelled out in the personal conduct policy as it relates to league personnel that irrespective of what the court finds, if we find that you've brought, you know, and I'm just paraphrasing, disrepute or, you know, if you've caused embarrassment to the league, whether you're guilty or innocent, we can still punish you.
In fact, I think, you know, nobody needs less evidence than the commissioner, as we know. Like, really?
Well, but there's precedent. The Irsay thing, Irsay got caught on drug possession and I think a DUI and drug possession. And he pled down to a misdemeanor. He ended up with a misdemeanor. So, I mean, I don't even know if Irsay has a record. You know, I don't know if that was an actual conviction or was a plea or whatever. But he was given six games and it was nothing to do with whether he was guilty of this or innocent of that. It was what the incident was, and he went down for six games. So I don't think it's going to matter to Goodell whether Kraft is technically guilty or innocent, because if he gets off because the video wasn't calibrated properly with the blah, 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 the air pressure in the ball was, have you ever heard of the ideal gas law? Like, if not, that didn't get you off on that. But if Kraft gets off on some sort of technicality, is that going to matter to Goodell or to anyone?
I don't think so, no. I mean, to me, again, the damage of this thing, if you are Robert Kraft, the damage of this is done. So, like, you know, because, look, he's someone that is image conscious. I think we can all agree on that. And this is embarrassing. So in a best case scenario now, I think if you live with that and you move on.
So it just aggravates me every time that the
fighting this just extends it.
The spokesman says, we categorically deny that Mr. Kraft engaged in any illegal activity. Okay, so what are we going to do? I'm curious to hear it. I am curious to hear it. Will in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Will.
How are you doing, guys?
Good, Will. Be quick, please.
Good. Okay. First with the Patriots, how do they continue to do this? It's just year after year, they continue winning despite you got Spygate, you got Deflategate, now you got whatever we're going to call this, Tailgate. They continue to pile up rings. How do they do it? It's just, if this was the Cowboys,
yeah,
they crumble and go 5-11, yet we continue to win.
So this is different. I mean, the first two things, I think you have a case. This is sort of different. This is just sort of, this is off the grid.
Yeah, this to me almost has nothing to do with the football
Zero.
Operation.
Almost. Zero. It completely has nothing.
Yeah, Zero. Like, I mean, other than the fact that, you know, obviously he owns the team.
From the league.
Well, no, look, so if you want to just draw a parallel, if Kraft lands on his feet and regains his status and his stature, then you'll say, boy, he survived his thing just like Belichick and Brady survived theirs.
But I mean,
let's see that play out first.
I mean, now that you say it, like, if you're looking for a practical manner in which it could hurt him in a day-to-day, and again, I don't know that
guilty or innocent.
Yeah, and I don't know that this matters in terms of the eyes of the league, but if the league does punish him, and they probably will, well, he's on a lot of committees too, right? So he's going to have to miss the owners' meetings and what else? Now there's another one. There's one in March and one in May.
Yeah, but okay, what does that have to do with guilty or innocent?
No, it doesn't. I just said if you're looking for a practical way in which this hurts him beyond the public embarrassment. And it has nothing to do with the guilty or innocent. That he has hurt himself in the standing of the league. I'm just telling you, there is another price to pay for him, and it has nothing to do with fighting the law.
TJ Quinn, just the ESPN legal reporter, just tweeted, sources who have seen the surveillance video say it's unquestionably Kraft, and they don't expect him to dispute the charges, although he could plead down. Again, Kraft's attorneys deny he broke any laws. I just hate that last piece. Why are we denying he broke any laws? So what's the... He's not going to...
Yeah, but you understand why defense lawyers exist, though, Mike. I mean, that's kind of naive.
Well, they represent you. So don't have your attorney or spokesman say out there that he did nothing wrong. He denies any... that's not exactly what he said. It's legalese. He denies doing anything illegal. Kraft's attorneys deny he broke any laws. But they don't expect him to dispute the charges? So are we going to play this game where I never broke any laws? That's just, like, I find that gross. Just admit you did something wrong.
Of course.
I mean, we all have to do it.
So again, this is one of those, like, and I don't know what the logic is going to be. I can't give you an answer on
that
one.
They categorically deny that Mr. Kraft engaged in any illegal activity. I mean, I am partly curious just to know what the legal worm out is there. What's the legal weasel job they could do to get out of it? Because it seems pretty clear when the guy walks in, receives a sex act, and then hands her money. Why do you need audio for that?
Well, I don't know that you do. Again, I don't
and
know.
And then he went back the next day and did it again.
I don't know what the answer is. I don't know. You know, so again, now I can try to take bad guesses. Like, I can look at it and say, I don't know, they're going to argue that there was a relationship between the two and he went in there other times and paid her the same amount when there was no sex.
So I'm curious if it was the same gal. I got to go back and read the redacted thing. we can make bad guesses. That should be another Felger and Maz t-shirt.
I like that idea.
Felger and Maz, where we make bad guesses.
Yeah, nobody makes bad guesses like
it's
we do.
True. No, that's that has some promise, that slogan. Jordan in Boston, go ahead quickly.
Yeah, everyone keeps on asking why this spa. Well, I think it's, you know, clearly because the girls probably never watched TV in their lives, at least football. So they wouldn't, you know, they don't even speak English probably. So they wouldn't know who, you know, Robert Kraft was, you know. And another thing is, does the league, you know, they want to separate themselves from this as much as possible. So does that mean, do they punish Kraft by himself or do they punish the team and Kraft?
There's no precedent to punish the team. That is going to be a whiny Patriot conspiracy theory. That's just going to be, it's the same people who are crying about the referee assignment in the AFC title game are going to cry about, well, wait till the league. They're not going to do anything other to Kraft.
Well, and also, but you know, like the Bart Scotts of the world who are calling for the fourth.
Forget them.
Like, they're, you know, that's pointless. Asinine. They're
pointless. I don't even pay attention to that. Just like I wouldn't pay attention to a whiny Patriots fan who does the same thing. This is going to come down on Kraft. The precedent is Jim Irsay, 6 games and $500,000. It'll be either a little south of that or a little north of that. And could you debate it? If he got a full season, is that too much? It's 16 games versus six.
I mean, that
feels
heavy.
Yeah.
See, I mean, I feel what Irsay did was probably worse, but in the ballpark.
Yeah, that's heavy. I mean, to me, if Irsay's the precedent, then it should be something comparable to
should
that.
Should be 4 to 8.
So, yeah, right. Give or take. And the 500 grand's the 500 grand. There's no way you're getting around that. I mean, that's a maximum. And if they hit Irsay with the max, they're probably going to hit Kraft with the max. Because the last thing these guys care about, well, I shouldn't say that, but the last thing that's going to hurt these guys is the money.
So, but the money means nothing. But it may sound like nothing that he gets suspended from games or league activity. For Robert, that's a lot.
Well, and this is what I was saying about the committee part of it. Like, he is a significant voice there.
Okay, so if he loses a committee ship, that's on top of it. But I'm just telling you, the game day thing of walking into that stadium like the Roman Emperor and, you know, doing that thing and then being in the owner's box and being shown on TV and getting the... I'm not going to make a joke there. But you know, getting the treatment he gets up in that box during these games, the adulation that he receives entering that stadium, watching the game in the box. You know how important that is to them?
Sure.
And him? I mean, they have special chairs and lighting. So he looks a certain way on TV. That's so important to him to be at those games and be seen at those games and to represent that team on that day. For him to miss those, that's a big punishment for him. I don't diminish that. That's real in his world. The money means nothing. But that moment, to take that away from him, and then what do they do with the owner shots in the games where he's not there? They're showing Jonathan, but it's noticeable that Robert's not there. And it's like now for 20 years, 25, we've got that shot every Patriots game for 25 years. Has he missed a game? Like, I can't remember missing a game.
No, I don't remember.
They go up to that box and there he is. And for the first time in 25 years, they're going to give us that shot and he's not there. Like, that's going to hurt him.
Sure. Yeah, I think. But again, what will the reaction be like when they show him up there for the first game back?
Here? Oh, my God.
Okay.
Standing O's. Backflips in the aisles.
So that'll hurt in the short term while he's missing the games. I mean, that will hurt. But even that will go away. Like, he'll get back into a normal routine, and then, you know, he'll have his place in his box every Sunday and all of that.
Okay. Bruins made a move today at the deadline. Murray with the details, and then we're back to discuss.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Maz. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Back to your phones. I only request, please, be quick. Mark in the car. Go ahead.
Hey, so Kraft isn't going to plead guilty or no contest, because if he does that, then he has to testify against the girl and all the people up the ladder in the human trafficking chain.
I haven't heard anyone else say that other than you.
So then he doesn't get out of it. It doesn't end. Every time there's a trial, he's called back to testify. He's got to go on the stand and can't plead the fifth.
Okay, so what's wrong with that then?
That why not comes after him 2 years from now.
Oh, would you stop with the Goodell thing?
He will.
For what?
Why wouldn't Goodell come back?
You know what? Go cry to someone else about Goodell. God, that I have zero patience for. Zero. Okay? So what? Then he would, and you're the only guy I've ever heard say that. That he would then be on the hook to testify against whatever to help bring down the human trafficking ring. So what? Good. Then he would be contributing to a good cause, wouldn't he? If any time he was brought in to testify against the proprietors of that establishment and the people running the human trafficking ring, wouldn't he want to testify to help bring those people to justice? Try again.
Yeah, so look, I don't know what the legalities are, what the pleas, you know, and what the ramifications of it are. All I'm just telling you is that I think that with regard to public, you know, the public perception, okay, the damage is done. I don't think Kraft, now, again, the legalities of it, I can't speak to a lot of that. But if he is looking to somehow save face in this thing, I think that horse left the barn.
And my guess is, and it's really not Goodell, it's what the owners tell Goodell to do. That we know. Goodell's not going to rule this independently. He's going to gauge the pressure and the temperature of his fellow owners. And my guess is, and if I just had to guess, that Kraft's going to get less than you might think. I'm not telling you he'll get a little or get nothing. But if you think they're going to like throw the book at him, I don't know. Because that old boys club there, those fellow owners, boy, that would take a lot of nerve to throw the book at Robert for that. When I don't know what's in your closet.
Oh gosh, for sure.
Okay, so
with that group,
like on that one, I don't know. The Goodell's treatment of Kraft's going to come from the fellow owners, and I wonder how hard the fellow owners are going to want to go after him. Jones on this for this sort of thing. If the Patriots are caught cheating again, you forget about it. You know, the nuclear button. But on this, I don't know. Jonesy in the car. Go ahead, Jonesy.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Couple of points. I think you heard it here first, and you will hear it again. Why is law enforcement re-victimizing victims of human trafficking? Not enough.
Your phone's crapping out. I'm glad it was. You weren't quick enough to the point, and just please be quick to the point, people. Steve in Attleboro. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Love the show. Just my biggest take on this is, Kraft is so influential in the league. He's a billionaire. What is he doing at a seedy strip mall in Florida? He has all the money in the world, a constant spotlight on him. Why would he do something to give a black out of the franchise? That's all I got to say. Hey, Big Jim, the Con and Co's are a good band. That's all I got. Bye, guys.
Okay. I mean, isn't everyone sort of asking that question?
Yeah, I mean, that's the one that everyone asks.
Well, what is a guy with this means and lives the lifestyle he does doing schlepping to the Orchids of Asia Day Spa next to the Outback on Indian Route Town Road or whatever that is up there in Jupiter?
It's just sleazy. You know, it feels beneath them. You know, like it's a...
Well, it's the great mystery, right? Because, again, if you wanted to go do what you want to do, how about just get yourself a nice room at the Ritz and have someone else go out and take care of it for you and bring someone to you? I mean, and nobody knows about it, period, end of story. I say go get yourself a room at the Ritz because maybe you don't want to do it at your condo or your apartment or whatever it is because you don't want the visuals. All right, so you find some place that's a little discreet and you engineer it that way.
So we keep asking because, again, this is not by his place in Palm Beach. So he's making a trip there unless there's an private airport that's up there too. I'm not familiar with this. I don't fly private into Jupiter. But unless there's a private airport there in Jupiter that he flies out of and this place is convenient to that, unless that's the case, it isn't really convenient. I mean, the morning of the AFC title game. So why is he going there? You know, you sort of ask that question. Doesn't feel like it would be his kind of place, but maybe it's for that exact reason that you would never expect to see someone like Robert there. It is out of sort of the immediate Palm Beach area, so you're not going to run into people, but apparently at this place you could run into other Boston billionaires. Apparently, you know,
right.
This place was such a draw that other Boston billionaires went there.
Well, so that's what I mean by it was a destination when we were talking about it earlier. Clearly, there was word of mouth that got around. Like, there's no accident in going to a place like that, given the clientele.
All right, let's reset the Bruins stuff. They did make a trade today. How do we feel about it? There are a lot of people out there, including our Ty Anderson, who wanted the Bruins to go all in today, and they did not. They were conservative today. How do you feel about that? Let's break that down right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Marcus represents a lot of versatility and production in a top nine role. And something that, you know, we felt that, you know, coming down the stretch that we still could use that. And the coaching staff and the meetings and all the things we've talked about as a group. I'm proud of our guys. What a hell of a trip they had against a real tough teams to play against on the road. And we come back from that. You know, we're in decent position, but we got a long way to go.
All right, Don Sweeney on the acquisition of Marcus Johansson. That's all the Bruins did today for a second and a fourth. Ty Anderson at 98.5thesportshub.com wanted the Bruins to go all in. First round picks, prospects, whatever it took to get Mark Stone or a big fish, they did not. Ty Anderson joins us in our Town Fair Tire Studios.
What's up, Ty?
Are you disappointed? Are you disappointed? No pleasantries. Are you disappointed that they didn't do anything? Did they screw up today?
Yes. Yes, I'm disappointed. I mean, I said it this morning. You have only a few more years left of this core, and we're going to maximize that now with Charlie Coyle and Marcus Johansson and Lee Stempniak. Great. This feels like 06. This feels like 2016, 2017 when they added Stempniak and Lyles. The next year they added Stafford. It's like, all right, are you in this to win it, or are we just trying to sell some playoff tickets here? Like that's what I want. I wanted to see them finally cash in because you know what? I've seen their prospects. They're not that good. Like you've seen this year, the prospects that they have that they're saying they don't want to trade in the summertime. They're not that good. Cash in while you can. Get somebody. The cap crunch is coming. So to walk away with what you have, it's a little frustrating.
Okay, but now that said, when you say the prospects aren't that good, could they have matched what Vegas gave to Ottawa?
No.
For Stone?
No, absolutely not. Like, that Brunstrom kid is going to be really good. Like, I think he's probably the next Erik Karlsson, which is why they look at that and they say, we want that player.
Okay, you know, that so this is the 19-year-old defenseman that's in the Vegas system. He's in the AHL level right now, but he was a first-round pick last year. And the Bruins could not match that because they'd have to give up McAvoy to match that player. But would Ottawa even want McAvoy because he's due a payday?
No, they wouldn't because they don't want to spend money right now.
So the Bruins could not have matched that Vegas offer.
They could not. And that's sort of the frustration here is that you had all these chips in the summertime and every single chip has devalued. Or it's not worth it for the team that you thought could be a suitor for one of your prospects or one of these players that you targeted in the summer or beginning of the season said, we might be in on this guy. You didn't get any of them now.
Okay, what about Gustav Nyquist? You were just telling us off here.
Yeah, so Gustav Nyquist was a guy they were really in on. He went to San Jose for a second and a third round pick. The Bruins were really close, but the idea was that Nyquist would not waive his no trade to come to Boston. Why that is exactly, I'm not sure. I think personally it's easier to advance with the Sharks and through the Pacific Division than it is the Atlantic Division. You don't have to go through Tampa Bay, Toronto. You have to go through, you know, Vegas. And look at all the teams that are still in it, you know, in that, like Calgary, like you can beat those teams in a 7-game series if you're the Sharks, in my opinion.
No, but that is interesting. The Bruins were in on Nyquist. They could have matched. He got a second and a third from San Jose, but Nyquist would not waive his no trade to come to Boston, but he would to San Jose.
Yes. And that's frustrating. I think that's frustrating for the Bruins. It's frustrating for the Red Wings because the Bruins have young talent. One of the problems with the Red Wings right now is that they don't have any young, affordable talent, in my opinion, that's going to help that next wave ahead. Like they have some good role players, but they could have got somebody good from the Bruins, in my opinion, but it didn't materialize because he didn't want to come here.
Okay, tell me about Johansson.
Yeah, solid. I mean, it's solid, but it doesn't elevate you. You know, he's a good third liner. Like I think his best fit is probably going to be with either Krejci in the second line or as the left winger for Charlie Coyle in the third line because you need to have more offensive pop in one of those spots there because you can't get by with David Backes and Joakim Nordstrom as has Coyle's wings. That's a waste. I'd rather not have Coyle if that's the case. So it's one of those things where I think he can go there, or you move him to the second line because he has experience, as you mentioned earlier, with Ovechkin and Backstrom. He's able to do that on the right side. So maybe you do that. But again, it's a left shot, natural sort of center left winger. So I'm not exactly sure how it's going to work out, but I like it because I like it more than I like Peter Cehlárik, who is solid, but Cassie does not want to play him in the third period of games. You've seen this again and again. He doesn't want to do it.
Would you rather have Johansson or Wayne Simmonds?
Are we talking price-wise? Like the second and the fourth versus the fourth and Ryan Hartman?
How about as a player?
On the team, who would you rather?
For the price paid today, Wayne Simmonds. Because I think that's important. Because the second and the fourth round pick, I look at some of the guys that were traded in the last 3 days. DeZingle went for 2 seconds. Zuccarello went for a second and a third. Nyquist, second and third. I know we talked about why that didn't happen. And then you look at a second and a fourth for Johansson, a guy who missed 35 games last year because concussion problems, has missed a few this year because upper body injury, and he has 27 points in 48 games. I go, you know, I don't love that price. For what you're getting, I don't love that price. I almost would have preferred taking the equivalent of Ryan Hartman on your team and a fourth-round pick with conditions on it for Wayne Simmonds, because I think that would have...
Who's the Ryan Hartman equivalent?
I mean, Nola Chari, like Chris Wagner, like Ryan Hartman stinks. He's not a good NHL player. So I don't like that is talking about like overshooting your hand. If you're the Flyers there, you thought you're going to get a prospect, you know, in a first round pick for Wayne Simmonds. You got crap for him. That's something that I thought. I'm curious what the ask was from the Flyers to the Bruins.
Okay. You mentioned Johansson's concussion problems. We all know why he has concussion problems because Marchmont drilled him in the face last year. Was it last year or the year before?
It was last year.
It's last year, last January. It was a really dirty, gratuitous play by Marchand. He was coming in on a partial break. It was in the offensive zone. And he got stymied on a partial break, and Johansson came in late. Marchand just elbowed him right in the face. Marchand got 5 games, his 9th suspension, and Johansson was out for 2 months, 2+ months. And some people think he still hasn't really recovered. And boy, did Johansson give it to Marchand when he finally was able to talk and address reporters. 2 months after the hit, he said it was stupid. There was nothing else to say about it. There was no point in doing that. There was no hockey play whatsoever. It's sad to see there are still guys out there trying to hurt other guys. It's sad. It's stupid. I'm hoping it doesn't come down to him ending someone else's career before it's enough. It's not why we play the game. There are obviously situations where to try and hit someone to make the hockey play and it goes wrong, that happens. Then there are plays like this that had nothing to do with hockey. Sad to see. I guess I'm unfortunate to be on the receiving end of that. Then he was asked, Marchand was suspended for 5 games. Do you think that was enough? Johansson answers, not really. Considering this was the 9th time he's been suspended or fined, he knew the number. Like I said, you hope that it doesn't come to him ending someone else's career before it's enough. That's all I can say. I'm trying to put that behind me and get back to feeling normal again. That's all I can do. So a lot of times guys get traded and they have a history. This is another layer. How do you think that factors?
I think they'll move on really easily. I guess Sweeney said today that Johansson said, I'd rather play with him than play against him. So I think that's
yeah, maybe a little safer.
Exactly. And I think, you know, Marchand, he's tried to graduate from this stuff. He traded in the elbowing for the licking, which is weird, I know, but he's been pretty clean this year, and I think Marchand is trying to evolve as a leader.
Didn't he have one early in the year?
What, this year?
Yeah.
I don't believe so.
I thought he had one. Didn't he have one?
Not that I remember.
I thought he had one.
I don't remember. If he did, I don't remember. It was nothing that led to a fine or a suspension, rather. But it's one of those things where he's going to go up to him tomorrow at practice or Wednesday at practice, whenever the case is. Marchand will go up to him and apologize and say, hey, let's move on. Let's make this work here and move forward. So I think that's a sign of Marchand evolving as a leader, trying to grow and trying to leave that behind him. It's one of the, and also, consider this, too. If Marchand did do anything this year, no, he threw the book at him.
So he didn't. It's my fault. Just assumed he would have, but he hasn't.
So, Ty, just quickly, because a second ago you said that they may end up putting Johansson next to Coyle on the third line. You think that would be the best scenario? Ultimately, what you're saying here is you think the Bruins at this deadline acquired 2 third-line players.
Yes. Yes, and it doesn't help them. I mean, it doesn't help them beat Tampa in a series. Like, if you were going to beat Tampa in a series, you needed a legit second-line, borderline first-line player so you could have a 1A and 1B kind of dynamic on your top two lines. I don't think you have that. You still are relying on that Bergeron, Pastrnak, Marchand line, if that is your line come game one of whatever series, in my opinion. It's so... I don't love this. I don't. hate it, but I wanted more. Looking at everything, I wanted more, okay. Especially the price they paid.
So I don't think it was as bad as you. I'm tired of the overpayments. I'm tired of the rentals. For a while there, we thought Kovalchuk, when the first DuPont tweet came out, they acquired a veteran winger for no prospects in return.
I was like, getting excited.
Oh, God, please.
Oh, I was getting excited.
All we need is two extra years of Kovalchuk at six. I'm done with that. I'm done with the Ginlas, the Jager, I'm done with all those.
If the Kings ate like $2.5 to $3 million of that, would have been worth it.
So I'm not as upset about it as you. I think the worst news today is on Pastrnak, which was what, Maz? What did you just tell me?
Pastrnak, according to Don Sweeney, is going to be in a cast for 2 more weeks, and then when he comes back, he'll be wearing a splint or a brace.
And then it's up to him in terms of pain management?
Correct.
That's the piece, tolerate. That's the piece that I hate. So hold on. 2 more weeks puts us in the middle of March. Then he's in a splint. So then he says another week out of the cast. Now we're at... So what, he's got...
Yeah, the quote is, it's an issue of comfort for when he returns to the lineup.
Maybe he'll play the last week or two of the regular season. But if this thing is going to be bothering him into the postseason, that blows.
It's scary, too. It's scary because you look at it and you look at this roster.
All because he couldn't make it to the Uber? And he hasn't spoken yet. Talk about...
He's a good kid. Come on now. Why you got to do this?
I'm not saying he's a bad kid.
I know.
But that is embarrassing, and now you've hurt your team. Like, that's not good. He deserves to have a moment for that, Ty. What, are you trying to protect him?
I'm not trying to protect him. I just don't think he's not, like, going out and partying. The whole team was out. It was one of those things where I think that you look at that night and you say they had Monday off, end of I think it was 4 games in 6 days.
So you're saying it's okay?
It happens. It happens. What are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to bench him now? Like, when he comes back,
But he's supposed to, but he should face the music publicly. For hurting the team because he couldn't make it to the Uber? You think that's cool?
Adam McQuaid fell and got a concussion in a suitcase. Should he apologize?
I don't remember
for being a clumsy dummy
incident you're talking about, but what is it, the same circumstance?
No, I don't believe he was drunk. I don't know if Pastrnak was drinking. I don't know. Connect the dots and you'd think, yes, he was. But it's one of those things, like, why should we go out there and make him apologize for something we don't know?
I don't need him to apologize. I don't care what he does.
You just said face the music. What music do you want him to face?
You don't think he should face any music for that?
Well, he should be criticized for it is the point, Ty.
He has internally.
But, sure. But the rest of us should say nothing?
What are you going to do?
What do you mean, what are you going to do?
But what are you going to do about it? Like, what are you actually going to do about it that's going to make a difference besides embarrass the kid who's carried your team for, like, the first 4 months of it because you can't add a player who can score a goal?
We've got a little Pastrnak thing over here. Wow, think of that.
So, look, I would tell you...
One of the most important players... Presumably, we don't know, was drinking, stumbles on the ground, loses a month, and may not be right for the postseason. We're supposed to go, oh, well, what are you going to do? What? On what planet is that okay?
Yeah, and this is one of those cases where you're talking about, what, a 21-year-old? How old is he now? 22?
22.
Okay. So, but I do think that any negative attention that comes from it, well, there'll be a learning element in there, too. And I'm not telling you I'm here to teach Pastrnak, but come on. You fall on the way to a car because you didn't have enough self-control?
My job is to commentate on these sort of issues. And so, yes, I'm
but
going
that's
to offer
different,
my opinion
different
on
than
it.
Him saying he needs to answer to it. Like, what is the ideal solution for you with David Pastrnak falling? What does he have to do? Does he have to stand
Don't
in front
fall.
Of
him? Don't fall!
Well, no, I mean...
But we're past that. It already happened. What are we going to do now?
He should be hammered for it. Is what should happen to him.
We're going to tar and feather him.
We should
That's
hammer.
The thing. Like he should be all going to walk by and throw apples at him one day. Like, I don't know what you want out of this.
To face heavy criticism and to acknowledge what he did really hurt the team.
I think that he's facing heavy criticism internally.
Good.
And he's apologetic. That's what Don Sweeney said. He said he's very apologetic after.
How come he hasn't spoken?
Because he's injured. Injured guys don't speak.
He injured his mouth?
Injured guys don't speak. That's what they tell us.
Did he injure his neck, his vocal cords?
It's entirely possible. No, but they don't. They tell us that injured guys do not speak. When you go down there, good luck trying to interview an injured guy. They won't let you do it.
Ty, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Anytime.
Folks, read his stuff on NBCSportsBoston.com.
I don't work for them. Why would they do that?
Ty, you think he's bad? Wait till you talk to Jones.
I'm sorry. 98.5thesportshub.com.
My co-workers.
98.5thesportshub.com for Ty's fine material. What the Bruins did today, updated here, the latest on Kraft. 90 seconds, no commercials, and right to your phones.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.